purposely. Your life, God's purpose. Listen at purposely.com.
Welcome to The Bonfire. This is season 9. For those of you who have been with us since the beginning, thank you for journeying together. The Bonfire is all about God's presence, God's love. God is light, and God is a consuming fire. And we're grateful for all the radio and television stations that are carrying The Bonfire. Please show your support for them. Write in a note and show that appreciation. Also, if you have been watching for a while and you want to share it with someone else, give them the website, thebonfire.org. If you have any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. In this 9th season, we are going to look at some of the Psalms. And each Psalm is different. If the Bible's new to you, Psalms are the largest book in the Bible. They're found in the Old Testament. There's 150 different Psalms. And they are songs, prayers. They are ways to express your heart, your soul to God, and to process life with God, to draw near to God. If you feel stuck sometimes in prayer, then the Psalms are a great place to go. If you have joy in your heart, you're going to see celebration in the Psalms. There's also songs of lament where people are grieving. There's Psalms of repentance, which are songs of returning to God with all of our heart and turning from sin. You're going to see a wide range because we go through a lot of different life experiences and we have a lot of different emotions. And we have a God who already knows us and loves us, but we invite him in and we share life together and we open up all these different parts of our lives. When I first came to know Jesus in college, it was at Dartmouth. I didn't grow up going to church or reading the Bible, but I read the Gospel of John in a class and it changed my life because I discovered that Jesus is our living hope and Jesus has living water and Jesus satisfies the soul. He died for our sins. He's risen. And this is relationship through grace. And I entered into that joy, and there was a song in my heart. I wasn't, thinking about the Psalms, but there was a new song. And out of that, prayer began in my life. I still remember the first time I prayed. It was in a dormitory room, and I was in awe all night that we talked to God. Out of that, some of my prayers were more intellectual and theological. And it wasn't until a number of years later and a tragedy in my life that I learned how to pour out my heart to God. When you open up the Psalms, you're going to see raw prayers. You're going to see honest prayers. You're going to see prayers that go deep, deep calling out to deep. And if you've been stuck with prayer, either you've been distracted or you feel defeated and you kind of have some despair or you just don't know what to say, Psalms are a great book to open up and to start to pray this. You can open up any of the Psalms and then make it your own prayer. Read it, study it, and then go to God. The purpose of Scripture is to lead us into the presence of God. We're grateful for God's Word. It's eternal. It's powerful. It's also not God. Scripture is not God, but Scripture leads us to God. Jesus said, "You study the Scriptures, yet refuse to come to me." We don't want to study the Scriptures, study the Psalms, but not really go to God. They lead us to God, and we're so grateful that we get to take a look together at some of these Psalms. We're going to start today in Psalm 95, and for this season, we're going to look at one Psalm for each episode of The Bonfire. This Psalm 95 really focuses on worship and who we worship, why we worship, and sometimes we don't want to worship, and then what's the results when our hearts are hard? All of that is laid out in Psalm 95. Worship's a great place to start because we are designed to worship God, and God made us for that purpose. We're going to praise him forever. We're going to enjoy him forever. And that is the deepest part of our being. We are eternal beings. Our bodies are temporary. We have this tent. We have treasure in jars of clay, but you have a soul, and the condition of your soul is significant. You need nourishment for your soul. Your soul can thrive. Sometimes people are very successful in the world's viewpoint in terms of money or career or have a great car or house, but your soul is so much more important than that. And it's important to pay attention to your soul. And what's the condition of your soul? When you start to worship God and thank God, you start to come alive in your soul and your soul prospers. And your soul is the most important part of your life. And when you're close with God and abiding with Jesus, it's going to affect everything you say and do. And all of that really is worship. When people say the word worship, there's a couple different things to think about. Some people are thinking and considering being in a church and there's intentional time of music and worship. That's great, but that's not the extent of worship. That's not exhaustive. That's just a sliver. That's a glimpse. That's an important part of our rhythm. The first day of the week, we gather together to worship the resurrected Lord. That's just a start. Worship, in its greater sense, is our response to God's goodness, our response to God's presence. He is holy. He is pure. He is righteous. He is glorious, he is eternal, he is all-powerful, he is all-knowing, he is the one who always existed, always will exist, and he deserves our worship. That's the tone as we start in Psalm 95. We're going to worship God, which it really is our whole life. All of your life is worship. You have no greater calling than worship. Let's take a look at both the specifics of singing and praising God with our voices, and then also a lifestyle of worship. It's all included here in Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. The first word is come. Worship's an invitation. Worship's a choice. Worship is not forced or faked or manipulated. It's your choice. When you enter into church, you decide if you want to worship. You decide if you want to praise God with all your heart or kind of lukewarm, if you want to wait for the right song, if you want to look around to see who else is worshiping. What is the key factor for you in deciding to worship? Come, the Bible says. Jesus is inviting us. Come, the Father, come, the Holy Spirit, come. Come, let us. Not just one, but let us. We need to remember, we, not just me. Sometimes when we hear things like worship, we're just thinking, only me. But worship is together, the body of Christ. Come, let us sing. Some of us have more talents when it comes to music and singing than others. I try to sing quietly enough where I don't distract anyone because I don't hit the pitch as well as some other people. Sing, though. Sing for joy to the Lord. Worship is joy. There's joy in God's presence. I don't hear people say, what a waste of time that I was thanking God. Wow, I really shouldn't have gone for it in worship today. That really backfired. You don't hear that. What you hear is that come and seek God and live. And with the joy of God's presence, you don't have a source like being near to God. So again, the invitation is come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Shout aloud. Some people think worship should always be quiet. Sometimes it is good to have silence. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, God is in heaven, we are not. So let our words be few. Worship God with reverence and awe. There's a place for silence in worship and reflection, and we need that completely. At the same time, look at what else is in Scripture. Shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Some people only want it quiet. And you look at Scripture and you see the fullness of worship and expression, and we have both. We have reverence and awe, and we also have full celebration. Worshiping God, it should look far more palpable, excited, alive than your favorite sports team. Just think of how much you shout for a team that you're pulling for during a key game, they score. What do you do? What about worship like that? See, a lot of times we want to take off the top end and take off the quiet end, and then worship ends up being somewhere very, very contained right in the middle. And we don't really turn from our sins. We don't really get on our knees. We don't really humble ourselves. We don't really seek God's face, and we don't bow down before him, and we don't really celebrate. We don't have joy, and we don't have the shouts, and we don't have the, you know, hands up, and all those are in Scripture. So when we see that in Scripture, it helps us recalibrate and really think. This is a psalm that gets you to think, how am I worshiping God? What does my worship look like? Now, it should always be done in spirit and truth. It should always be done in alignment with Scripture. What I'm trying to highlight here is that Scripture has much wider parameters in the expression of worship than a lot of times we do culturally. And we need to come back to, what does this say? The rock of our salvation, the rock that is higher than I, our strength, our source, our security is God, our salvation. God rescues us. We are forgiven. We have eternal life. We are in God's family forever. These are the greatest blessings in our lives. And you don't receive the greatest blessings and then just be like, okay, thanks, God. Little golf clap. Yep. Okay. Hey, appreciate that eternal life. Great. Yeah. Big one there. Okay. Moving on. And some people get really excited about a lot of other things in life, but the biggest blessings, they just kind of take it as, oh, that's a given. And there's a little of entitlement. There's a lack of gratitude. And that's not the tone of this psalm. Come, enter in, shout out loud. Who is your rock? What has he done? Salvation. Let us come. Again, there's another invitation. Why is there another invitation? Because a lot of people are cautious in worship. They're stingy when it comes to worship. They don't want to praise God. They don't want to enter in. And so repeatedly, come, come, come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. It's a language of the soul. And God uses music and song to both stir our hearts, fill our hearts, and then it's a way we express our hearts to God. And come with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with gratitude. How do you do that? You start remembering the blessings. Psalm 103, oh my soul, forget not all his benefits. He redeems, he heals, he crowns you. When you start thinking about all God has done for you, you come out of the slump, you come out of the ditch. A lot of times we're just focused on either our to-do list and what we've got to accomplish, or we're focused on things we don't like, or we're focused on things we don't have. And you start to get this grumbling spirit, and that's not from God. God wants us to intentionally thank him. You don't have to make anything up. He's the source of every blessing. You have so many blessings. You could stop right now, and you could name 10 blessings today. Do you thank God for any of those blessings, or do you just take it like, well, God, you're supposed to do that. Well, of course I have that. Don't fall into that trap. It's poison for your soul to stop thanking God. Let me say that again. It's poison for your soul to stop thanking God. Why? Because you'll be consumed with yourself, with what's not going right, and you'll be weighed down. You'll take your blessings for granted, and there'll be more distance from God. Think about that like a parent and a child. If the parent is constantly serving and providing and protecting the child, and the child is just like, well, that's your job. You're my parent. What? Are you kidding me? And then the child's just complaining all the time? No, we need to choose worship because God is worthy, because God is good, because God treats us better than we deserve, because he has given us eternal gifts. We need to remember these things. The world doesn't tell you this. You can scroll through social media, no one's going to tell you those things. You can hang out with your friends, no one's going to tell you these things. You come back to the Bible, it's like, that's right. And then paradigm shift. Again, renewal of the mind. Now we're thinking right. Now we're starting to worship and praise God. Why do we worship God? For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Now you might have a preference. You might like mountains. You might like the desert. You might like the water. There's a lot of different settings. You're going to have your favorite, but God made them all. God made them all. And when you're out in creation, you have a respect for his presence and power in what you see, and his beauty and his intelligence and his benevolence. It's all there in nature, but we don't worship nature. We worship the one who made it. We worship the creator, not the created. A lot of people around the world want to worship the created. No, worship the creator. The created points to the creator. And he is the king above all gods. There are a lot of false gods. When you worship yourself, that's a false god. When you worship a person, that's a false god. No person made what we see around us. And we live in the Pacific Northwest. We just spent time by the ocean. And my appreciation for God just grew by spending a few days with my family by the ocean. You feel this closeness to your maker, and that's what we're designed to experience. And the invitation continues, and now the third time, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Notice, bow down in worship. Humble yourself. Remember that we are small and he loves us. He died for us. So we're very valuable to God, but compared to God, we're very small. Our place is to bow down and worship. The angels cry, holy, holy, holy. The angels are created to worship God forever. So we bow down, we turn from our sins, we acknowledge his greatness. And there's something when you do that that brings a peace and a security. Internally, when you stick out your chest and you're full of yourself and you think you're all that and you're a little better than other people and you're not really worshiping God and thanking God, yes, that pride appeals initially, but it is so empty and it is completely a waste of our lives. On the other hand, when we humble ourselves and bow before him, we remember that Jesus is our good shepherd. We're under his care. A good shepherd nourishes, guides, comforts, provides, protects, lays down his life for the sheep. And we have a good shepherd. We are the flock under his care. And when you bow down, you're saying, God, I submit to you. I trust you. I'm going to surrender to you, God. That's worship. You can't have worship without surrender. Isaiah in chapter 6, and the prophet comes before God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and he bows down in worship, and he says, here I am, send me. God touches his unclean lips, and then send me. When Jesus is going to wash feet, when Jesus miraculously provides the fish that Peter can't catch, Peter is going to bow down. Peter's going to declare, you are the Lord. Away from me, I'm a sinful man. And we feel that when we see God's holiness, we know we're sinful, and yet God's grace is greater than our sin, and we're invited in. This is worship. There's a place where you meet with God, and no one can take that away from you. Wherever you are, you can worship any time of day, any location. You worship. Worship is a choice. It's a response. Worship is good. Don't just worship with music. Yes, find worship music and praise the Lord. But worship God in with your lifestyle. You're worshiping when you honor him with what you say and what you do and how you serve. Like, this is all worship. It's all glorifying God. We're designed to glorify him through worship, and it's a response to who he is and what he's done and his faithfulness that stirs and inspires our worship. This is a psalm that lays out, you know, what does worship look like? Why do we worship? And then it moves in this last section into, what's the other choice? What if you don't want to worship? What about that? Well, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as you did at Meribah, as you did at the day of Massa in the desert. What are Meribah and Massa? Literally means strife and testing. And when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they started to complain. In those passages, they were complaining about water, and they thought, there's no water. And they were saying it'd be better to go back to Egypt. And then they were taking out all of their fears and their anger on Moses, and they wanted to stone him and kill him. And Moses would cry out face down. God told Moses to strike the rock, and God provided water from the rock. So even though they complained, God still miraculously provided water through his leader, Moses, who was seeking him. And that was the first response. Later on, Moses would just get so frustrated that God said, speak to the rock, and he would strike the rock. And then overall, you know, now Moses was stumbling. So when there's groups that are stumbling and have hard hearts and are grumbling, it leads to more grumbling. Grumbling's contagious. Complaining's contagious. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful the patterns in your life. Be careful how you talk. Be careful with your attitude. Because what we see here is if you harden your heart, then complaining will come out of your mouth. Your heart and your mouth are attached. And when you start that habit of complaining, it's a hard one to stop. It goes from, oh, just a little bit, to, oh, I kind of do that a lot during the day, to now it's just normal. Now I don't even recognize it. And I think we had 2 million people in the wilderness that just complained. Water, not enough. We don't like it. We're complaining. Let's go back to slavery in Egypt. There's manna. It tastes the same every day. Now we're complaining about the food. Where's the meat? And God does provide water, and God provides manna, and God provides meat. But they're complaining, complaining. And what they don't realize is they're just going in circles. The fastest way to hinder your progress and lower the ceiling in life is just to get in a rut and keep complaining. Not being part of the solution, not worshiping, not thanking God, not reading his word, not walking by faith, just going in the same circles. It's like a rut, and you just keep complaining in the wilderness, thinking your complaining's going to do anything. Complaining doesn't do anything. Now, yes, you can give feedback, and that's helpful, maybe at your workplace or some other settings. That's great. That's very different than just keep bringing the same old when it comes to attitude and complaining. They do that. Specific mentions here of places and situations, so it's not just general, it's specific, where your fathers tested and tried me, then though they had seen what I did, God provided for them 10 plagues, 10 miracles, delivered them supernaturally, part of the Red Sea. God did all that. And then what'd they do? Forget, not like, complain. Don't go down that pattern. It's the opposite of worship. Forget about who God is and what he's done. Not like this current situation. And then just start complaining. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. That was a generation that for 40 years, they stayed in the wilderness. God said, the promised land is yours. Walk by faith. I'm going to give it to you. It's your inheritance. Don't stay in the wilderness. See, they were supposed to go from the hand, which is the hand of Pharaoh, and slavery in Egypt to be delivered. And then the sand, which is the wilderness, they were going to be there for a little while, but then they were supposed to go into the land. They didn't. They just went from the hand to the sand, and they forgot all about the land. Now, another generation is going to be raised up. Joshua and Caleb are going to lead them. They will cross the Jordan River. They will consecrate themselves. They will not be complaining, but full of faith, they will go into the promised land. That's the difference. I'm telling you, we have choices during the day, during the week, when we're at church. What does a spiritual temperature look like? What are the habits that we're cultivating? What's most important in life? What are we really going for? If your view of worship is just a couple songs on Sunday that you kind of listen to, maybe sing a little, you're ultimately going to be dried up in your soul. But if praise is something that you enter into every day in different locations and different ways, and sometimes in silence, sometimes thanking God, sometimes with music, there's so many different expressions of praise, but it begins in the heart. And that's why the emphasis here in Psalm 95 at the end is the heart. Notice hardening of your heart and your heart going astray. Think back to when you were on fire for God. What did that look like? What did that feel like? When did you feel close to God? When did you praise God with all of your heart? I'm talking about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. When have you bowed down to God or raised your hands, raised your voice, given him praise? And it's when you're doing that, you're not focusing on yourself. You're not focusing on your problems, but instead, you're almost lost in a sense in his presence in a great way, abandoned in this praise without hindrance, without holding back. And you just feel alive and like, this is what I'm made to do. And if you can do that together with many people, I've been in stadiums where that happens, it's so powerful. It's a glimpse of heaven. And that kind of worship, you don't just have to wait and buy a $50 ticket for your favorite band and then wait 3 more years until they're on tour again. You don't have to wait like that. And what David learned is to cultivate a lifestyle of praise. What the psalmists learn, and Psalms, 150 of them, many are from David, but then there's others, yet there's this common commitment to worship. And worship really is a choice and a commitment, and you're the one who decides. Think about your life. What you eat, no one's forcing you to eat that. Like, you decide. Do you want to eat healthy? Do you want to eat not so healthy? Like, what's important to you with eating, and then exercise. You decide, like, what kind of exercise, how much, how are you going to take care of your body, stretching. Then you decide with sleep. You decide how much sleep, right? You decide which bed you're going to sleep in. I mean, you make the choices there, your pillow, how comfortable it is. So you decide with these different parts of your life, and just as much, you decide with worship. And the appeal in Psalm 95 is, don't be someone whose heart is hardened. If your heart is hard, why is it hard? Did someone hurt you? Someone disappoint you? Did you not get what you wanted? Like, what's happening in your heart? How do you bring that to God? How do you bring that pain to God and receive healing? Last season with the bonfire, we focused on the healing of Jesus. Maybe it's time to listen to those again, physical, emotional, relational, spiritual healing that comes from the Lord. Maybe that's your need. And through some of that healing, you're going to meet with God. You're going to worship God in the middle of the pain. It's not a pain-free life to follow Jesus, but his presence is greater than our pain. And when we abide with Jesus, there's healing. Healing, hardening of your heart. Maybe you had a bad experience. Someone was mean. Someone who loves Jesus disappointed you. When did your heart get hard? And then right now, would you return to God and let God in? Let God move in your heart. Instead of going astray, abide. And worship starts in the heart. And for your heart, if it's been kind of casual, just going through the motions, kind of lukewarm, kind of bored, think through that. Why is that? Well, the worship's not my favorite. Well, that's just a couple songs during the week. You're the one who's going to choose the songs the rest of the week. You've got access to song lists, playlists. You say, well, there's no band in my home. Well, just play the music there and start to sing. Just listen to praise music. Let it wash over you. Find music that's going to draw you closer to God. And start to cultivate those habits of giving thanks. That's the one, I think, that's highlighted here, that for a lot of people, it's just rusty. It's collecting dust. It's something that's overlooked. It's just so easy to stop giving God thanks and take the blessings for granted. That's why Jesus said there's 10 who are healed and only one returns and give thanks. That says something. 90% are just taking the blessings and just doing what they want to do. 1% is going to give thanks to Jesus. So in all these things, in Psalm 95, we're talking about worship. This is the start of really a season where we're looking at different psalms. I couldn't think of a better place to start than worship. It's what we're called to do. It's what we're designed to do. There's joy in worship. No one decides worship except you. And then find some people who want to worship God. Find some people who want to seek God and praise God. Because when you do that, you come alive and you fuel each other. And the embers that were fading become a bonfire. I'm telling you, when you worship God in spirit and in truth, the Father is looking for those who will worship. And when you praise God, do it authentically, do it humbly, do it with reverence, do it with joy, and in God's presence. That's what the bonfire is all about, entering in to God's presence, more of God's presence, and thanksgiving and praise and worship. That's where God meets us. He's worthy. He's our creator, redeemer, savior. Just look at the names here, rock. Look at who God is, and the more you think about that from your mind, it's going to lead to your soul, it's going to lead to your heart, and don't hold back with worship. This is The Bonfire. We're on a journey together. We're seeking God's presence. If you've enjoyed this message, please share it with someone else. Let's keep growing in our faith and our walk with God.